Welcome to Do Your Worst.
Yay!
Wow. All right, we are so excited to be here. We are your hosts, James and
Mallory.
And we're so excited to have our guest here. This is Charlie.
Hi.
Charlie's a real writer.
She's a real our first real writer. Exactly.
She's done at least one thing. Things in January. 12 books in January.
That is wild.
My goodness.
I tried
We have Charlie's friend.
Yes, that's me.
Adam, can you introduce Charlie for us?
Charlie.
Just embarrass her.
I'm interested in what you're going to say.
Charlie is an individual human woman.
That's true.
She lives here in Utah with her husband and two kids and her dog. First published September 1st, 2014.
Yeah, good job. Looking
good.
Hold on. You've published 12 books since 14.
In 5 years. Or talent.
Full-time job.
Okay, well, your full-time job is a hobby and a talent.
There you go.
So you've got all of them wrapped into one big Joe.
So she's best known for the Paper Magician series, which is great. And her most recent book came out. It's called Siege and Sacrifice, but it's the third book in the Numina trilogy. So this, if for our YouTube viewers, is the first book, Smoke and Summons.
It's Pokemon meets Magical Fidget Spinners.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
My goodness.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, her work is legit, guys. Yeah. Check it out. She's even had
the Paper Magician series, optioned by Disney.
Goodness.
She has another book coming out in January.
I do. It's called The Will in the Wild. It has 12 kissing scenes in it. I'm very proud.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, there you go.
12 kissing scenes. So why
that's more kissing scenes than I've ever read.
James loves chapter books. So I'm curious about the kissing scenes. Is it significant for you?
Well, so I write fantasy and I write romance. And so for me, it's like, if a book doesn't have kissing in it, I don't read it.
I'm
a really bad person that way. This is the only book I have that doesn't have kissing in it.
Oh, is that hard?
Leading up.
Is that the spectrum? Like 0 to 12?
Yeah.
For sure. It's all slow build.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really
slow
important.
Slow build is how you do it.
Is it 12 kissing scenes because it's your 12th book?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to use that in advertising.
Yeah.
No, 12 kissing scenes. Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Since we're on a podcast about writing and writing failure, did you write any books that didn't get published? How many? Like, what was your experience? I'd love to hear about to your 2014 publication.
So my first book that I published was my 9th one I finished.
Oh, wow.
And so I did end up publishing my 6th one, but all the other ones went to a dumpster fire. And then it's like funny because once you're published, you think you've made it, but I've had a bunch of books still turned down.
Right.
And so I haven't counted them.
Wait, you've written more than 12 books since you've been published?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
Oh. So, this is a dumpster fire and I get rid of it, or my agent says this is crap, or my publisher is like, no, thank you. And then I self-publish it anyway.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like, I haven't gotten published. I finished maybe like 13 or 14. I've done my worst many times.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll see shortly.
It's often very subjective. I mean, I think that's something we're discovering reading bad writing. I feel like we almost always are like, well, is this bad or is this, it's just like, there's this nugget in it that we really like.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? And you never
know. The subjectivity does make it really hard. Like even when we bring stuff, half the time other people are like, there's a lot of great stuff in there. And you're like, there could be. It's hard.
Yeah. Technically, I feel like bad writing might just be like giving up. Is that crazy?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Did you learn something from the failures that you applied to the ones that you published?
Oh, from my failures?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I finally learned how to write a proactive protagonist, you know, which took me 4 books to figure out.
I totally get that.
So it's like, oh, the main character has to do something.
Yes, they have to make mistakes. They have to, oh my gosh, I'm terrible
at
that.
Get dirty.
Because I want my characters to be likable. So I'm like, they can't do anything wrong. Yeah. It's crazy, though, because that's what makes characters likable.
Every rule there is, you can break.
Yeah.
You just have to break it in the right way.
Yeah.
Teach me your ways.
Do you ever go back to like your published work and be like, well, I would have done this differently.
I can't read Paper Magician anymore.
Oh, really?
Like I tried to start reading it because I wrote a companion novel to that series. And so I was going to reread them for research. I couldn't get past the first page.
Oh, really?
So I was like, the pacing is so bad. Why are there dialogue tags everywhere? And I couldn't.
See.
So whenever somebody tells me that they like that book, I'm like, okay, it's okay.
Yeah, I think I read it last year and I was like, this is really great. Well, I really enjoyed it.
Wait till you read that one.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing.
They're full of blood.
For someone who isn't a novelist, what's a dialogue tag?
So he said, she said, she exclaimed.
Okay, and so like too many of those.
It's just too many of them.
Bad form.
Yeah, because you can even say, Mallory walked into the room. What are you doing here? You know Mallory said it.
Right.
Because the sentence says it.
So it doesn't always have to be, he said, she said.
So you don't have to say, he said, oh my gosh, she said on every
seashore.
She exclaimed.
On the seashore, she said.
Because what does that do to the reader as they're reading through and there's too many of those? Is it like
they
get distracted?
It just can get really repetitious. Like, especially if you're in a dialogue heavy scene.
Yeah.
It's just really repetitious.
Mm. And so it kind of takes you out of the world maybe, or you're...
And it's just like, it just reads less pretty, especially if you're listening to the audiobook and she's like, she said, he said, she said, she said.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, stop talking. Turned off.
Well, we like to present the bad stuff that we make on the podcast itself. So I'm so excited that you brought a couple of things to share.
Yeah.
If you'd like, we can get warmed up with what Adam brought and then get into your stuff.
Yeah, you can also read my 500,000 word long fanfic. Whoa. That's on fanfiction.net. We'll just take a few hours.
What?
Oh, 500,000 words.
They always say the first million words you write are garbage, and my first million was all fan fiction.
What kind of fan fiction of what?
It's an anime called Fushigi Yugi. That's the big one.
That's a great
name. Which is also what I'm reading today, but it's separate.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, I'm excited.
That is amazing. Incredible.
I will never tell anyone what my pen name is on that because I don't want anyone to read it.
How many of those words is he said, she said?
Probably at least 233,000.
Oh, I love it.
This week's episode is brought to you by the Glow Up Tour. Guys, this is JK Studios' first tour. We're going to go on the road and perform never-before-seen stuff. So get your tickets at jkstudiostour.com. It's October 8th through the 21st. Hope to see you there.
Okay. All right, Adam.
So,
share your good, bad stuff.
Yeah. And for anyone who knows, I have finished a book. I'm trying to get it published. This is not it. Please, don't confuse the two. Okay, chapter one. Al took one step forward. It was the last step he would ever take with his own two feet. The feet, however, had many more steps to go before passing on to the next life. In the not too distant future, they will be donated to and transplanted onto a man with a machete and very poor vision.
Oh, wow. Al just got right into it.
Al's vision, on the other hand, was above average, but unfortunately aimed in the wrong direction. Unbeknown to his eyes, but painfully obvious to the rest of his body, a meteorite struck him. It was a miracle. Al just so happened to have been standing next to a podiatrist who was wasted no time preserving his disembodied feet.
There's so much information.
Unfortunately, the neurosurgeon, cardiologist, and wig maker accompanying the podiatrist couldn't salvage anything.
Very good specificity.
Yeah, very good specificity.
It's a lot to process.
Real quick, did the meteorite hit him in the eyeballs? Or is it that he wasn't looking when the meteorite?
He wasn't looking when it hit.
Was it because he had eyes like a chameleon? Because that's what I was picturing based on.
The one place he couldn't see is where the
meteorite was.
Yeah.
No!
This is one blind spot. Okay.
Proceed.
The media almost burst with excitement. News anchors ranted almost and raved burst. About the crash. I know.
Almost.
It was almost exciting.
It was almost really cool.
But in the next sentence, they're ranting and raving. The news anchors ranted and raved about the crash, the feat, and the possibility of alien overlords.
Mm.
I don't know why, though.
Meteorite?
Because, the meteor.
Yeah, it's a meteorite.
It always
space.
Comes with
space.
The day prior, one extraordinarily lucky astrologist predicted that all Leos should steer clear of outside influences, else their feet might get pointed in the wrong direction. She was quickly promoted. In fact, 4 out of 5 lunatics agreed that this was unequivocally a warning to a Mr. Ronaldo Al Donald, the sole victim of the crash. The 5th lunatic, interestingly enough, was a dentist.
Okay.
Wait, yep. Only one person died and it was Ronald?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be, because people are always like, 4 out of 5 dentists?
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
There's a lot of very clever things happening.
Yeah.
All on top of each other.
Yeah.
Just saying, right. It's a short
it's
story.
Very mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mushed. After a mere 5 minutes, the news had reached the other side of the world. As it turns out, the event took place at 7:42 a.m. local time, which was 9:42 p.m. in Beijing, therefore making it just in time for the 10 o'clock news. Due to such haste, news correspondents had to rely on a man who took a couple classes online to translate at 10:07, because no one in Beijing speaks English.
Wait, did it happen in Japan if Beijing's 2 hours away? It's 14 hours. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that you could have that much of a time scale.
Yeah,
look at that.
It's at 10:07 p.m. Beijing time, nearly a billion people believe that a giant bag of dog food spontaneously materialized in America and killed a man's foot.
Is this
so
like
many
lost
times.
In translation?
Yeah. Or like,
yeah.
You know.
Because like, the guy
the news
didn't
is being
really
gotcha.
Translate. Yeah.
Yeah.
At 10:09 p.m., I don't know why this is. All the times are that important. Mm. Every single one of those people forgot about the incident and listened to the reports on plans to breed pandas who not only could, but also wanted to use chopsticks. 5 out of 5 lunatics agreed this project was worthy of government funding. Little did Al or the rest of the world know that in the exact same moment that Al was obliterated, precisely one other person in the world died. His name was Wes Towner, and his death was far less interesting. He had just returned to his home with a bag of dog food for his new pet, Panda. Wes's neighbors decided to move across the country in hopes of becoming the first famous kazoo family band, and so gave Panda to him. Wes poured the food into a bowl, turned around, slipped, and knocked himself unconscious. At the time, he didn't realize that in the chaos of the fall, a chopstick wound up lodged inside something that was inside him, and that something was keeping him alive.
Oh my God.
What?
He ate something was big enough to have a chopstick in it?
No, I thought he landed on one.
He landed on it. Okay, gotcha.
And it's pierced the thing he swallowed.
But we don't know which body part it's in.
No, it's in a body part.
Yes,
I don't know why I thought that was clever. Like, it's something that's
in something.
Well, everybody's
thinking it's the butt because it's very clever.
I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Everyone's thinking
his butt
that.
Because keeping him alive.
You're being very coy. We know it's the butt.
In a most noble attempt to save his new master, Panda tried to remove the chopstick, but found himself genetically incapable of properly handling it. In this moment, Al and Wes did something together for the very first time. They died.
Oh,
and that's how it starts.
I kind of like it.
I like that.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. It's like, I feel like it's a novel made out of news headlines.
Right.
Yeah.
In a bizarre world.
Isn't that? Yeah.
So it's just like constant new information that's like really like exciting. So if you read it with 4 people stopping every couple sentences.
Oh.
To explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they did with World War Z? Wasn't it written like all in news?
I haven't read it.
Headlines or something like that?
Or in news articles maybe? Or
I feel like what you should do is put like 20... like asterisks in here and have just like 3 pages of cliff notes out of the story.
Footnotes and stuff.
That's just the most inconvenient way to read anything.
I think that would be like... the greatest short story.
Seriously, that would be really, really funny.
A short story with asterisks and each one of those has asterisks. Like it's the length of a novel, but it's a short story.
Yeah.
I also really like the last line.
Oh, thank you.
You know, they did something together for the first time. They died.
Oh, yeah.
There's a very
Line too was really great.
Yeah, it's dang it, I'm blanking on his name, but he's like famous comedic British author.
Douglas Adams.
Well, Douglas Adams, but then the other guy who
Terry Pratchett.
You know what I was gonna say at the very beginning? I was like, this is like Terry Pratchett on Fast Forward.
Right?
Oh yeah,
on Fast Forward. Exactly. It's like there's definitely a lot of very clever, fun things happening, and I felt like that when I read Hitchhiker's Guide as well. You know, which is Douglas Adams.
What really happened to his feet? I guess you said they were donated to like somebody with a hatchet or machete. A machete.
So, took. Even rereading it for the podcast, I was like, I'm having trouble understanding this. And it came out of my brain.
Yeah.
But I think what I wrote is that the meteorite hit him. The only thing that survived was his feet. And then his feet got reattached to another guy.
I want to end on the other guy.
who
the newfound feet.
Yeah.
But I just don't know why it wasn't just totally saved by all the timestamps.
I know. So many timestamps. That paragraph has like five different times in it. This is boring and unnecessary.
But I mean, what's worse, timestamps or dialogue tags?
Hey, don't bring that up. That was a private moment.
All right. Well, speaking of dialogue tags, let's get into Charlie's work.
All right.
Yes.
I really want to hear this.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of fan fiction. And so have you guys heard of like Mary Sue fan fiction?
No, what is that?
So Mary Sue is when the person writing it is basically inserting themselves into the story and everything's about them and they're so perfect and so wonderful because like they're living their fantasy life in their fan fiction, sure. Which my 500,000 word one totally is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
When I wrote this, I was really into this anime called Fushigi Yugi, which I tried to rewatch in college and it was awful. But I loved it this time. This is like the first chapter. I never finished it, but all right. The school bell finally rang and all the children in Oakdale Junior High were free to roam around their afternoons however they wanted. However, one tall, skinny, yet curvy, voluptuous girl with long auburn hair didn't want to go to the movies or other hangouts her peers loved. She wanted to go to her favorite gathering, the local library, Whitmore. What a long day. Her lovely voice said as she stepped up to the doors of the library.
Her voice said.
Her voice talks a lot.
Holding a stack of returns. With some trouble, she opened the glass door, stepping inside the quiet building. She wished she had a friend to hold the door for her, but oddly enough, in all of her 16 years, she didn't have even one, even though she was a very kind and generous person.
She's perfect, but nobody liked her.
Nobody likes me because I'm perfect.
I'm returning these, she said to the librarian at the counter. Ah, Mary Sue, so nice to see you.
Oh, so you're
Mary
just,
Sue,
you're
you went admitted. For it.
I went for it.
I respect that.
The middle-aged woman smiled, accepting the books from the shy, yet inwardly brave and courageous girl's hand.
Inwardly brave and courageous girl.
You've read just about every book in the librarian commented. You must be a really bright girl. Mary Sue blushed. Oh, I'm really not. Humble, too.
How old is she?
And she's in junior high. Middle school, right? She's like 15. Okay. That's like the golden age of anime.
Yeah.
All anime characters are 15.
And she's read like an entire
library. She's like Matilda.
Matilda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. With that done, Mary Sue took off gracefully through the aisles and aisles of books. Most she had read, in case you forgot. Even the World Encyclopedia and Luke Hawthorne's Guide to Gynecology. I obviously thought that was funny.
Yeah.
It is funny.
She passed a flight of stairs that somehow in all the time she'd been in the library she hadn't seen before. Curious, she looked around to see if anyone was looking and darted up the stairs. They led straight to a door that read, "Do not enter, not open for public." Still curious, she tried the lock. It was open. It just so happened that earlier that morning, the janitor had opened the always locked door on his shift, cleaning hinges.
The always locked door.
Yeah,
unlock the always locked door.
This door that never opens. The hinges need cleaning.
Mary Sue and the always locked door.
That's a good title.
Yeah.
It's good middle grade. She stepped inside the dark room, closing the door quietly behind her. She flipped on the light and looked at three shelves full of books. She got very excited. I haven't read any of these, she exclaimed. She went between shelves and a particular book instantly caught her eye. It was written in ancient Chinese and Mary just happened to know all the kanji. Which, by the way, I'll let you know that the average Chinese person can't read a newspaper until they're 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
oh man.
Also, they're not called kanji in Chinese.
Yeah, they're called kanji in Japanese. Not in Chinese. Do you know what they're called in Chinese?
Hanzu.
Yeah, but she's so smart.
She knows
Chinese
kanji.
She can
read it. You need to know like 5,000 to 6,000 characters.
Wow.
And
it's annoying.
even students in college are learning new characters.
Wow.
She could do it.
Mary Sue. How does this end?
Mary Sue could do it. What?
Yeah. How does this end?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, is that it?
No.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Not it. That's a few more paragraphs. Universe of the Four Gods, she read, opening the book. The book was brought by Inosuke Okuda from China to Japan, but miraculously had materialized in an American library, sensing the presence of Mary Sue.
Oh.
Whoever reads the story will have her wishes granted. She's reading that. That's in quotes.
Oh, okay.
Mary Sue asked rhetorically. She turned the page. Suddenly, a bright light flew out of the book, the call of a bird echoing through the room, yet no one else heard it, except the librarian, who also knows Chinese and later becomes a narrator.
Oh my gosh.
Ah, it's so red and bright, Mary Sue exclaimed, still holding the book. I hope it doesn't take me to another world. But to her dismay, she disappeared from the library.
I hope it doesn't take me to another world. Wow, she's exclaiming all of the exposition.
That's so good.
I've never read any of these.
Yeah. And this is delightful.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
also separate from that 500,000 word Fushigi fan.
It's separate.
Well, I can't think of the word.
Fushigushi.
Fushigushi.
It's so good.
Your lips like quiver.
Gushy fishy.
Says what?
Gushy fishy.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm just,
just mispronouncing this things. Part of knowing James is just getting talked to and nonsense.
Got it.
Yeah.
I want to know how you felt about this at the time you wrote it.
I don't know, because I think I was trying to be like satirical.
Oh, yeah.
I assume.
This is literally half about the narrator at the end.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that you write at first. You just don't know like how much you're just copying things that you've read that you thought were cool or whatever.
Well, and like wish fulfillment stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like literally my first several books were just wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Seriously, great
it's
though.
So fun. Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious, you reading that now, because I bet you would find more fault with it than I would. I'm curious about the stuff that is like makes you cringe.
Well, it's funny, the things like I didn't think it was like when you said her voice said, I'm like, oh yeah. Like I didn't even catch that this time.
It's great.
You know, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I wrote it again, it would be better. But
yeah.
I don't know.
You were already good though. Like things like giving her a reason to be excited about being in that room versus just like, oh, is this door open? Like, you know, there's
this
a lot of writing.
I wonder if it's open.
That's
I'll
like that, including some of my writing. I feel like my characters are just like, I'm going to do what the author tells me to do. instead of having actual desires or things that they enjoy. I just feel like you did a lot of things right. There's just like a lot of delightful
lines. Which is funny because in my later writing, I do all those things wrong.
Mm.
So I guess this was just like a good moment for me.
Maybe.
Well, we talk a lot about like what you grow into, right? The things that you did badly that now you don't do anymore. But do you see anything in that writing that kind of defines you as a writer that you know has stayed with you? Like, do you see your voice in that, or you're like, that was another person?
Well, it's like, so if you have, so for example, like when you write a book, you have a voice, right?
Yeah.
You have an author voice. I've had to have somebody like tell me what mine is because it's hard to tell like,
right,
what your own voice is. So like I had a friend tell me, like, oh, you actually have a pretty formal voice when you write. I'm like, do I? Like, I never thought I did. Mm-hmm. But that might be because I used to really want to write big epic fantasies because that's what I read. And I didn't want to write young adult, and I always thought I had a very young adult voice, so I always tried to break my young adult voice. So maybe that's why
that
it
makes sense.
Formal, though this isn't that formal, but I don't know.
Yeah,
hopefully, I have good jokes in my current books. I
love
I could also like never actually write comedy, like, I can't write comedy. That's why most of my bad stuff, it's like, I don't want to share this because someone's getting tortured or something.
That's comedy
because, like, I'm like, that's
it
sad.
It can be,
you know.
I will say though, that I feel like the piece does what you intended it for it to do. It's Mary Sue fanfic. And
I forgot I had even written.
Yeah.
I was just looking through stuff because you asked me for some garbage. So I was just like, I didn't even remember I'd written it.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that was a surprise. It was a nice surprise.
It's delightful that it still exists. I'm so glad you had it.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that she yells, I hope it doesn't take me to another world.
That'll be the title of the episode.
Oh, no. The thing that's happening, I know it's happening.
But I hope it doesn't.
Oops. We're going to wrap up this episode. Charlie, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You have been a delight.
Yeah.
I wish we could read more of your stuff. I wish we had more time.
Honestly, I just wish we had a podcast where we could just read your books because
those are called audiobooks.
Yeah. I'd love to just sit in on an audiobook reading so I could be like, could you go back, please? I was confused. Not because the writing was bad, but because I wasn't paying attention. Please rewind. Dear sir.
And go check out her book, Smoke and Summons. It's the first in the latest trilogy. And you can find everything on Amazon.
Amazon's the fastest fastest way to get it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
Seriously. Thank you so much.